helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the marketing advisors on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back. I know it only seems like 7 days since you've heard our wonderful voices, but actually it's only been 167 hours.
Hope you didn't go on a hunger strike while waiting for us to come on.
No, please don't do that. I know it's Lent.
At least drink water. I think you can survive on water for a week, right?
You can do water, yeah.
All right.
But
we don't recommend it. I just survived on peanut butter cups, and I was telling you, Treg, that they taste so good going down, and then you immediately regret what you just did. You regret your action, which is what I'm going through right now.
Well, I'll let you ruminate over there and wallow in
your
self-pity.
Thank you. I just need about 30 seconds to compose myself.
Take your time. We've got a wonderful show lined up for you this evening, Jacksonville. If you're new to the program, you just tuned us in, this is the Marketing Advisor Radio Show, and we talk about mainly advertising, marketing, and how to grow your business using those tools, but we open it up to other business models as well. So, but today, I think we're gonna keep it strictly to marketing. And one of the things I wanted to bring to your attention, Rusty, is that recently news came out about P&G, Procter & Gamble.
Ooh, some mushy news in the advertising front. All right.
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, P&G is huge, right? They spend, what do we figure, $7 billion in advertising total on an annual
basis?
Are
I think $7 billion is their marketing budget, which, you know, I don't think a lot of local businesses can comprehend that kind of marketing
budget. Fret not.
Imagine the revenue you have to have a $7 billion marketing budget.
Fret not if your marketing budget is somewhat less than $7 billion.
A little bit, yeah. That might be the goal, a stretch goal.
It's a stretch goal. So nonetheless, so they spend $7 billion in advertising on an annual basis. Well, this news that came out recently is that in 2017, Rusty, they cut their digital spend alone by $200 million. And the reasons that they did this, and this is why I bring it to the show, is because I think that the business owners can extrapolate and use some of the information that these bigger companies like P&G and their thought process and apply it to their own business. But the reason they cut in 2017 the $200 million is because of three things in particular for the digital side. Now, this isn't traditional. This is digital. They were fearful that their viewability of their brands being advertised online weren't being viewed, yet they were paying for them. And they feared fraud. So click bots, you know, things that impersonate an actual person viewing or clicking or something like that. And finally, lack of measurability. So these are the things that Procter & Gamble are concerned with when they're talking about advertising marketing online. And these are the same concerns that local business owners have,
right? I was about to say, if you're a local business owner, you probably went down that list and said, well, crap, I worry about that same kind of stuff.
That's
by
right.
The way, if I just want to step back for a second. If you don't know what P&G is and Procter & Gamble, they're a big holding company, and they own like brands like Tide and... Tide Pod jokes.
Tide
there you
Pod
go.
Jokes.
Tide, Bounce, Bounty, Dawn, Pampers. I mean, they have products in baby care, health and grooming, beauty. So that's why they're such a massive company.
Right. So even if you don't know who they are, you've probably used their products.
But I think, you know, Treg, this is one of those interesting things. And we make fun of Walmart a little bit, I think, sometimes, because it's one of those examples where even big companies screw up. We mentioned that time. This is years ago. This isn't like modern or current news. But
were you talking about the clothing line?
Yeah, Walmart came out with a upscale clothing line. Like, who the heck is going to do that? And anybody who's not, even if you're not in marketing, you might say, well, that's pretty stupid. Nobody's gonna buy that or ever. I mean, not only buy it, but just buy it in general. Like, your mind's not going to.
Yeah, you're
grasp
not gonna. Yeah, you're
Walmart
not gonna understand.
Even, can even
Walmart
do that.
Selling elegant things.
Exactly.
Right?
So, I think. So, first of all, one lesson is, you know, these big companies can make big mistakes, but part of it is like that follower mentality. okay, oh my gosh, everybody's going online now, so I better push my entire budget online. Let's go find as many, you know, eyeballs as we can for as cheap as we can. And that's exactly what I guaranteed they did. They said, okay, I want mass, and I want it for, you know, let's push our vendors as hard as we can to get their cost per thousands down. And I think this is exactly what happened. If you're worried about viewability, fraud, and lack of measurement, you don't necessarily have to be these days. Now, there's always that worry. And when we say fraud, if you're not quite understanding what we're talking about, there's software out there that you can use to, you know, hackers can use, and they can make it look like your site's getting traffic from real people, but it's not.
Right.
Or you can make it look like ads are getting real traffic that really aren't. But there's ways nowadays that you can actually avoid a lot of that.
Well, that's what I wanted to. That's what caught my attention.
It's amazing that P&G, who's one of the biggest advertisers in the world, are having this problem. And I
guarantee 2017,
you,
last year,
yeah, exactly.
Which is, that's the mind-blowing thing of it. You'd think that maybe, okay, first few years out of the gate starting to, but I mean, they've been doing it a while. But that's precisely the reason, Rusty, that I wanted to bring it to the fore and bring it to the show and to our audience, is because our digital brand here at the company, Local Solutions, we have specific strategies in mind or in play to avoid these precise pitfalls, you know. And if only P&G would run their campaigns through Local Solutions.
If they would do their $7 billion budget through us, Treg, I think we could retire on a month of the commission.
To be fair, it's probably only, you know, like $1.2 billion, because that's their total media budget.
Good point.
So,
but if you are out there and you are a marketing person for P&G and you really want to fix this problem, call Rusty and Treg. We can take care of it.
I mean,
marketing advisors.
There's a couple things that we do with our Local Solutions brand. When business owners trust us to market and advertise their brands online, some of the things that we do is to avoid the fraud, is that we actually create blacklists of sites that we will not serve ads on, specifically because they have a reputation of being fraudulent. So we've been doing this, we've been investing in digital for I think now 15 years. And for those 15 years, we've been collecting websites that we simply refuse to pay for displaying impressions for our advertisers, precisely for that fraud reason. There's another thing that we do to go above and beyond that. We actually create our own networks. So what I mean by that is we create on the opposite end of the blacklist, so sites that we will not advertise our partners on, is our whitelists. And these are ones that we know for a fact are not fraudulent. And even with those restrictions, Rusty, and this is what I find remarkable about our team with the Local Solutions brand, is that even with those restrictions, we're still reaching 98% of the people who are online. And the reason we can say that is because, all right, so we've got these blacklisted sites that we know are, you know, most likely fraudulent. And then we've got these whitelists of folks, you know, sites that we know are legitimate and good traffic drivers. But, you know, the consumer goes to multiple websites. They may go to the black sites, and we might be missing their eyeballs there. But, you know, if we decide corporately to go to those blacklisted sites, you know what we're risking? We're risking losing business because we're not doing right by our advertisers.
Exactly. And so you might, and I'll just, you know, take the issue of like viewability as well. What you're talking about is how to avoid the fraud part of it, which is extremely important. You can also avoid the viewability part. And that's simply just picking and choosing what inventory you're going to buy. I mean, you can go out there and buy. And when I say viewability, I mean, if you run an ad, who cares if nobody sees it? You know, if you get charged for something for showing up on a web page, but they never, like, for instance, go to a webpage and then scroll all the way down to the bottom and look, there's always like an ad unit down there that nobody ever sees. And so you're not seeing any of the stuff that we run in that kind of area.
That's exactly
right. And I think we've got just a few seconds left before the segment ends. But, you know, in terms of lack of measurement, I don't know how you miss that. I mean, that's pretty easy to measure. I guess the other two are kind of related to that. If you got a lot of fraud and you got viewability problems, well, how the heck do you have accurate measurements?
Well, let's delve into viewability and measurement on the other side of this break. You are listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, Jacksonville. You are listening to the Marketing Advisors Radio Show. My name's Treg Kazik. I'm here with Rusty Winter. And listen, over the break, I was bantering with Rusty, and I'm looking for a new tagline for us. What do you think about marketing magic to melt the mind?
Marketing magic. What do they call it when you use a sentence that or a saying?
Alliteration.
Yeah, alliteration. I love it. Yeah. You're using alliteration.
Alliteration, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I know.
I think you should get that tattooed on your shoulder.
I was thinking my forehead, but if you want
to... it's closer to your mind, right? So maybe that's a good idea. I got a bald head. I can put it right on the top.
That's right. Well, if you're new to the show, maybe you just got in the car. This is the first time you've heard us. We are a marketing and advertising radio show, and we talk all things marketing and advertising. We talk about more than that, but our wheelhouse is in marketing and advertising and how local Jacksonville business can grow their business. Today, you know, there was news recently about Procter & Gamble dropping their digital spend by $200 million. And, you know, out of $7 billion, it's reasonable, I guess. I mean, $200 million sounds like an awful lot of money to me. But we were talking about some of the reasons that they did that and some of the things that local business can learn from their experience without having to spend $7 billion a year.
We're kind of laughing because the mistakes that these big companies make can even be avoided by smaller companies that don't have the resources. And so it's amazing. It's kind of like being big doesn't necessarily help all the time. I'm sure it does help them in terms of getting the best efficiencies and, you know, scale allows them to get things cheaper and all that. And they've got more people doing research. And I think it ends up kind of creating some problems like the one we've been talking about, is that they use this big behemoth of, you know, in these power plays to get the cheapest stuff, and it ends up coming back on them. And we were kind of laughing because we've got different assignments. You know, you and I, again, for people that haven't listened to our show before, we are on the street most of the time. I mean, we are client-facing people. We do this, our day job, basically. We are helping clients all week long and coming up with or attracting new customers. I mean, that's what we do. So this isn't all theory for us. But we were kind of laughing because Procter & Gamble's relationship with their vendors is a little different than our clients' relationship with us, in that they're beating them down for, hey, get us this most efficient, you know, like a phrase or a term we use is like cost per thousand or cost per point. You know, that cost per point's too high. You got to get higher than or lower than that. We need higher reach and all that. You and I aren't having those kind of conversations. Our conversations are like, hey, I need more customers.
Right.
I got 80 last week or 80 last month, and you know, my goal was 90 this month. Whatever that might be, those are the kind of conversations we have. And when you get in those kind of conversations, none of that other crap matters. You know what I mean? Like these weird, you're only reaching a billion people with these sites. I want 1.13 billion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A local person doesn't really care as long as that they're, as long as they're getting.
That's right.
The customers
when you go to a publisher, and let's say P&G's digital percentage is say 10% of that 7 billion, so 700 million. And you're holding a $700 million contract over a publisher and says, look, you better drive down your cost or this is going to your competitor. What's going to happen is precisely what you said, Rusty. They're going to go, that publisher, that media partner, that digital media partner is going to go and seek out the cheapest inventory possible. And what's going to happen is you're going to have the equivalent online of running a radio ad at 3 o'clock on Sunday morning. And the viewability is a real problem with that. So cheapest it's rarely the best, but it's particularly true when you're talking about digital advertising and viewability.
You need to be just careful in general if anybody in marketing, not just digital marketing, but anybody comes around and that's their claim to fame. I can get this for you cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, Maybe, but I would be real wary of it. I'd ask a lot of questions, and I would ask for a lot of case studies, you know, and not in terms of how you got something cheaper. I'd want case studies in terms of how right. it worked out. You know, did it work? Did they get more business than they had before?
Yeah, who advertises with you, and can I talk to them? I mean, because there's the rare customer of mine that will, you know, share things like the amount of profit that the campaign that ran with me actually generated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, business owner to business owner, that should be an easier conversation. And not to say that it doesn't happen. It does. It's just rarer. The more common indicator to me that the campaign is working well for my client is the fact of their longevity. If they, you know, people are not going to spend money with you and I, Rusty, if we are not generating revenue and subsequently, you know, margin for them. So, but, you know, we were also talking about some of the things that our local digital brand, Local Solutions, does specifically to avoid these pitfalls that P&G fell into.
Yeah, exactly. So to remind everybody, their reason for cutting the budget was they were afraid that their ads weren't being viewed, which is a viewability issue. They were worried about fraud, meaning it wasn't real humans that were actually clicking on the ads or viewing the ads. And then lack of measurement, which I kind of state is a product of the first two,
right?
If you're having measurement problems, because that's easy to measure digital campaigns. I mean, that's one of the claims to fame of digital is that, oh, I can measure it.
Right.
You know, I can see how many people click my ad and all this kind of great stuff. Well, not if some of it's fraudulent and not if some of it's not even be able to be seen.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll go ahead and get into that. I think you're going to get into how we avoid that, right?
Well, yeah, some of the things that we do for our clients is, first and foremost, we're talking about the cheaper inventory and the 3 a.m. Sunday morning spot, you know, commercials. Online, you have the same principle. We don't go to market seeking out the cheapest inventory, because the cheapest is not going to deliver the results, like you were saying, Rusty, that our clients want. They want the dollars that they spend online to translate directly to dollars into their cash register. And buying cheap inventory doesn't do that. So we specifically don't go after the cheapest. We don't go after the most expensive, but there is a sweet spot, and we find that. One of the other things that we do is we monitor the campaign. So somebody on our team has their hands in the campaign at all times. So for example, and why is that a benefit? Because if we notice, if we're looking at the analytics and for 7 straight months, we've had view-through rates, that's a view-through, for those of y'all don't know, is simply a metric that determines how many people saw your ad, didn't click on it, but went to the website directly, right? So that's a view-through. But for 7 months, your view-through rate has held steady at a couple of percent. Right. And then all of a sudden it bottoms out at 0.003%. Well, something happened there. And having somebody's hands in the campaign at all times allows us to dive deep into that and figure out what happened. Maybe we were serving ads on a site that needs to be on our blacklist that we discussed earlier. Maybe not. Maybe it was something else. But we need to get to the bottom of it. And that's mm-hmm. another reason that it's not a set it and forget it type of thing. You've got to be constantly on the lookout for things like that.
When I'm talking to new clients, that's one of the things I mention as one of the most important things, is that a lot of these, I mean, I would say most companies that you can work with on in terms of digital marketing, they'll set your campaign up and then they'll look at it again when it's time to do reports 30 right. days later. And then you notice problems and you bring it up to them like, hey, what is this keyword? I don't even do that. And you've been buying it for a month. We notice that stuff really quickly and notify you of it. Hey, let me tell you about these changes I made this week, you know, right. on your campaign. And here's what we're looking at next week. And so it's a totally different experience working with us. But we're almost out of time for this segment. I do want to mention we're going to talk a lot about content marketing in the next 2 segments. I'm so excited. We've got Maria Chrysavergis coming back, and she was on maybe a year ago, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, we've had her on before.
And
yeah.
She was fantastic talking about public relations, which I think content marketing is kind of related to that, but fantastic subject. I know it's kind of one of those buzzwords out there, like, well, how do I do it? Can I do it? Sounds tough. I don't even know what it is. Maria's going to answer all those questions. So really excited about having her on in about probably 5 minutes or so. We will be right back. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. So glad you stuck around. If you haven't been listening for the last 30 minutes, we don't know what you could have been doing. I mean,
shame
I know it's
you.
Dinner time, but I think you can wait a little bit to stuff your face with some dinner and listen to the Marketing Advisors, because what we do here is we help your business grow. And I think that's a little more important than
better yet,
survival, right?
Play it while you're at the table. Just bring the radio
in.
That's
a good idea. Yeah, like they used to do in the 40s, where you sat around and listened to radio shows.
Yeah. That's right.
I bet that's how people consume our audience, right?
I bet that's right.
But we tease this next, for the next 30 minutes, we tease this. We're going to talk about the massive subject. It's kind of buzzwordish, but it's not buzzword in a sense that, in a negative sense. I mean, it's an important thing, and it's the content marketing is what we're going to talk about. So we've brought the best person I know in Jacksonville to talk about content marketing. We brought Maria Chrisovergis, and I think last time you corrected me, I think I said Chrisovergis. It is Chrisovergis, right? Am I right?
You
this
just
time?
Flip-flopped it, actually.
Oh, gosh. It's
Chrisovergis.
Vergis.
Chrisovergis.
But
man.
I just appreciate you saying I'm the best in town, so you can call me whatever
I'm
you want.
Craig said, hey, I think we should do a segment on content marketing, and I said I know exactly who we should call.
Oh, thank you.
And so we welcome you. You've been on the show before, I think maybe over a year ago, but I really just want to know, what have you been up to in that since you last were on the show? I mean, I looked at your website. It looks like you're extremely busy. You came in here kind of out of breath. How's it going?
Oh, my gosh. Well, they always say if you want to know or want to get something done, you ask a busy person.
That's right.
So people are always asking me to do something. I was very busy today. I was on TV interviewing a bunch of people, ran in here. Our business is growing. We're representing all kinds of clients in the home building space, realtors, doctors. We've got some schools, and really our clients span all over the country. So that always keeps it really interesting as well, because trends in different industries are changing regionally throughout the year. So we've been a very busy team over at MCPR and Marketing.
I wouldn't doubt it, and I really appreciate you taking some time to come on our show for sure. In terms of content marketing, why don't we take a second to define it? Because it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It's one of those things that's probably got 1,000 different definitions, but you're out there executing it every day, so I think you're probably going to have a pretty good one that people can live by.
Yeah, this is a huge part of what we do every single day at our agency. And I always explain to people there are lots of different levels of content developers, because that's essentially what we're doing. You have it a more technical definition of a content developer, and then you have a more practical definition. So the technical side would be the people who are really trying to change the algorithms or affect the algorithms online. Obviously, we're talking about maybe a blog page or websites where you're putting in those keywords and phrases to try to manipulate the algorithms so that you land on what, page one or page two of the search engines. But what we really try to encourage our clients to take a step back and look at the more practical side of content marketing, which is engaging your audience and really telling a story and informing them about what it is that you do. We always tell, we don't want to push products, but we want to be more audience focused. So that's a little bit about content developers. And then content marketing is doing just that, telling a story and engaging audience, while also, you don't want to dupe the system, but while also trying to affect those algorithms. So when somebody goes into that search engine, and let's say it's a doctor, a podiatrist, let's say, and they're typing in those keywords, that you've done your homework, you've done the work on your website, where your website is landing on page one or page two of Google.
You know, I'll just point out that content marketing is I guess the term is used more often now in the digital age, but the actual concept of it has been going on for a long time. I mean,
ever since papyrus in ancient Egypt, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah. And Treg still writes on papyrus, by the way, with his quill.
Yes.
But I think it was like John Deere or somebody like that in the 20s that had a magazine. And so a magazine for farmers, and you would read this magazine. And then you had radio shows that were brought to you by a product, and it would be integrated into the radio show. So the concept has been around a while. I think it's just more universal now in the digital age, and everybody can kind of do it these days. But so, Maria, why is it important? I mean, if you're a business owner listening right now, why is it important for them to engage in something like this?
You know, it's the only way I feel like people are going to find out your story. And to your point, because content marketing really spans so many different media, you've got to figure out where your viewers, where your consumers are. You know, we always tell people, actually, WOKV, if you're a business owner, I mean, people have this radio station on all day long in their businesses on the weekends. It's a great place for people to sell the concept of their business. But then when you're talking about different generations or different industries, it may be a blog post, it may be on a website, it may be a different media, but you've just got to figure out where your audience is, and this is how you tell the story. I actually tell people content marketing is a little bit like dating, if I can kind of go through the story with you, right?
This could be good.
So you're searching for your prospects, like you were talking about. Why is it so important? Well, this is how you're going to find your prospects, or rather how they find you. And so this is how we look for that person that, you know, you want to court or is going to court you. Then we talk about the first date. You have to have the hook, right?
Yeah.
You got to give them that zinger that's going to get them to come back and ask you on a second date, correct?
Right.
So it's
that's where I keep screwing up.
We'll talk about that after the show. I do follow you on social media.
Love
just
advice
saying.
With Maria.
And then there's speed dating. The thing about content marketing right now is we are getting inundated with so many messages. I actually keep saying I can't wait. Give us like 5 years. I think we're all going to have thumb problems from just scrolling on our phones and on our iPads. But there's so many messages that we see that you've got to be a smart speed dater. You've got to be able to give them that 20-second elevator pitch. I always tell people when they're writing blog content, you don't have to really overthink it. Three paragraphs using some great keywords and phrases, and you're golden. Don't feel like you have to write a thesis. And then the end goal is the commitment, right? You want them to put a ring on it, because those people who are committed to your brand or your company become your brand advocates.
Right.
And equally as important are those influencers. You want to find those people who influence buyers to be committed to what it is that you're doing. And truthfully, you have one chance a lot of times at getting it right. Because you think about when you've opened up an article or opened up a blog and you've read it and you've been totally disengaged or really disappointed, and then you get aggravated because you're like, I just wasted 30 seconds of time that I don't really have on reading something. If it scrolls up again in your social media news feed or if you see it online, you're not very likely to open it again. So I always tell people when we come up with a content calendar, you want to make sure that you're hitting it out of the ballpark first time out.
So the takeaway is you're more of a dating coach.
Yeah. Well, there's that. That fee is a lot higher than what we charge people for content marketing.
I've got my wallet out right now.
Yeah.
No, is there any question why Maria is so busy? I mean, can you imagine a client meeting with her and hearing that,
right,
and not wanting to hire her on the spot? So, we've only got a few minutes left in the segment, but for those listeners that are still wondering, okay, what the heck are you talking about? What's an example of a content initiative, like maybe one tactic that you've used, you know, in the past that they can kind of grasp, you know, to understand what this means?
Okay, well, let's say we had a client actually who built the HGTV smart home. Actually, I mean, it was a bold approach, but for weeks we kind of lured people in just by making sure that they didn't, we weren't allowed to announce actually that the HGTV smart home was being built in Jacksonville Beach at the time. So we lured people in just by putting something out there. If there was a big announcement, and literally in two paragraphs, that's all we use keywords HGTV. We use keywords of custom home, luxurious home at the beach. But we were just telling people big announcement, big announcement. We ended up with so many followers before we even made the announcement that once we started, we made the announcement, we started blogging about it. You know, we had over a million people who were following us. Obviously, the HGTV name didn't hurt us.
Right. And was the response positive once it did come out?
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. We risked the fact that people may be like, really?
Yeah,
you know?
That was it? Right. Yeah. That's what I was asking. That's what I was driving.
No, it was huge because we needed to make sure that, you know, obviously the end announcement, there was a nice lead up to it. But it was very successful. I think it all goes back to telling a story and coming up with a campaign that really sells the story and sells it in an engaging way.
That's what I want to talk about when we come back. I want to talk about the issue with, well, what if I create it? How are people going to find it? And how are they going to actually see this content that I spent so much time on? So I want to see if you can answer that question when we come back. You've been listening to the Marketing Advisors. We will be back in about 5 minutes. Welcome back, Jacksonville. You are listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. And if you start hearing me get teary-eyed, that means this is our final segment. I hate this time, but this is going to be a really good final segment. We've been talking to Maria Crisavirgus. I said it right this time. Yay! about content marketing, content development. And I kind of introduced it like it's something that a lot of business owners have heard of. They kind of know they should be doing it, but they don't even know what the heck it is or where to start. And so I wanted to talk about that. You know, you defined it in the earlier segment. You gave us some examples of how you've utilized it. One of the questions I want to ask is, okay, where do I get started? You know, this all sounds great. I've heard before I need to do it. Now I'm hearing on the Marketing Advisors that I need to do it. Now I'm hearing an expert tell me I need to do it. Where do I get started?
The simplest place, and I think the most effective place to get started, is on your own website. You know, I have clients that will say, gosh, we're having such a hard time getting published. Why is that? That they say that before their clients, actually, because I'll say, you don't have to worry about getting published anymore in Architectural Digest or whatever it might be. You can publish yourself on your own website. Mm-hmm. And it really benefits you two different ways. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the last segment. One, it plays in that ranking game of trying to get your website optimized. I'm sure we've talked about SEO before, search mm-hmm. engine optimization, where you use those keywords and phrases to end up high on search engines. But it also provides your consumers and your prospects with really valuable information. So when businesses come to us and ask, like, how do we do this whole content marketing game? That's right out of the gates the first place that we tell them to do it. The other thing that I think people often miss is, well, then how are they going to find it? How do they know that it's on my website? Even if, let's say, they're getting decent traffic on their website, a lot of times people will go to the home page, they go to the About Us page, and then they bounce right out. Develop an e-blast campaign. Develop an email marketing campaign that links right to the blog. So if, mm-hmm. for example, we did something recently with a client who just won a Parade of Homes award for this stunning model that he designed, we created an e-blast that said, take a tour of the model and read more details about, you know, the Italian marble and blah, 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 blah. Well, it was so enticing that when we look at the analytics of how many people clicked on the email marketing campaign and went over to the blog page, it was huge. And if I can talk a little bit about analytics, numbers don't lie. I mean, they do in some sense, I'm sure. But in this case, you have to have a Google Analytics page set up on your website. This tells such an amazing story. And if you're not looking at those numbers as a business owner, you might as well just go ahead and bury your head in the sand. Because this will even tell you what your consumers want in your content marketing. When you see a blog about a specific topic performed so well, and your Google Analytics page will actually tell you how long people were on that mm-hmm. page, how many people visited the page, how quickly they bounced, what your bounce rate is, how quickly they bounced out of that page, that tells a story. That tells you, wow, our readers really loved this. So guess what? What are we going to do next month? We're going to write
more on that.
Right. We're going to have a part B on this topic.
Well, there's a reason. I'm laughing because Treg and I have this thing where when we meet with a client, the first thing we do is we get analytics access.
Yeah.
So Treg and I deal with a lot of different types of media online and broadcast. Even if it's just a broadcast client, we insist on knowing analytics because that's human behavior now. If you hear a radio ad, you see a TV ad, a lot of times you don't even call or write down the number anymore. You know, now you're going to their website. And so we insist on analytics access before running any campaign. And if you don't have analytics, then we're going to set it up for you because that's how important they are. We don't want to even do a campaign without them.
Well, and isn't it great as marketing professionals because so often people will say, well, I'm spending money in marketing and I have no idea, you know, if it's working or not. Mm-hmm. No, you actually do. If you do these, you know, set up Google Analytics or look at these numbers, you know how it's performing.
Hey, did you see October 15th when we started the campaign? Now your website traffic is up 300%. Yeah.
Right.
But that just so happened.
coincidence.
What a coincidence, yeah.
Nothing to do with each other.
Or maybe Maria wrote a blog post for you, and that's why it's so great. That could have been.
Well, that could have been.
You know, HubSpot came out with a report recently about content marketing, and in that report, it itemized 47% of buyers viewed 3 to 5 pieces of content marketing prior to meeting with a salesperson of a business.
Oh, absolutely.
So, if you don't think it's important, if you think it's, you know, this whole content marketing thing's going away. It's not. It hasn't, and it won't.
And here's the other thing. Business owners better make sure that their team, their employees, are constantly on their website because I work with, again, a lot of home builders. Mm-hmm. And I always tell the on-site agents that are sitting in these beautiful little model homes selling the product, the person who walks in, that foot traffic who walks into your model home has scoured all the pages of your website and they've already processed, they're interested in you. Right. So it's your turn to close the sale. They're not here shopping you. They're already, you know, ready and interested to buy.
And you better hope they don't mention something that they know about your site that you don't know about your site. That
might
not go
over. Unfortunately,
that
happens. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Treg and I on this show always challenge people to think about their own behavior and think about the last major purchase you made. Did you just show up all of a sudden, make one phone call and buy something? That's not usually the way it works. You're doing your research. We have a lot of financial clients where content marketing is ultra important for them because you don't hire a financial advisor without trust being built already. And that's how you build the initial amount of trust is, okay, let's read some of the stuff that you've written. Let's see some of the interviews you've done, some of the videos you've produced, and then I'll call you.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean? Like they've, like you were saying, before they ever walk in, they're so knowledgeable, so knowledgeable.
So I think that's a good point that you're bringing out. Plus, you know, the idea that content marketing, and you said this earlier, Maria, is that it crosses all kinds of medium. So we're talking about video, we're talking about audio, we're talking about print content. Anytime your brand or image is meant to be before a prospect, the content should be good. It should be golden.
And it should be consistent. I also tell clients, discover your voice. Have a unique voice within your industry. Some clients, you know, can have a little more fun and take a humorous approach to their sales pitch, while others, because it's maybe a